Hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind. And we're with you today. There it is. It is the utility plug. With you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on our regular schedule. After a month of raising money for this wonderful station, WBAI, as successful as we were, hoping that those of you who pledge money to this station do keep your promises and send in the bucks. Listen, you know, talk about mating. Who was talking about mating? We were talking about mating. Because that's what we do here on The Positive Mind. On The Positive Mind, we bring you facts about psychology, biology, sociology, anthropology, any pology we could find. We could even give you an apology if we do a mistake. We can make you any kind of science that will help you understand yourself and other people as well. That's the idea. The idea is to understand yourself and understand other people as well. Today we're going to look at a fascinating aspect of relationship dynamics. Specifically today, we're going to be talking about why opposite energies attract. Why is it that there's such a tendency for low energy people or low key people to form relationships with high energy people, rather than people of similar energies being attracted to each other? You know, why aren't the wired people with the wired people and the quiet people with the quiet people? Well, they are, but there is a tremendous tendency to be attracted to the opposite types. In my 25 or so years as a psychotherapist and couples counselor, I have clearly seen that people who tend to run on low-level energy, and by that I mean quiet people, isolated people, depressed people, conservative people, those people are attracted to the higher energy people, dynamic people, charismatic people, anxious people, type A people. I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes it's not true, but mostly, you know, sometimes similar types attract. But they don't usually come to me for help, especially if they're both low-key types. If they're both low-key types, you know, they kind of doze off. And they kind of settle in for everything. But the usual mixture I see are the opposites. Why do they come to me? Because at some point, the opposition of energy stops working. The wilder one starts complaining that the other one is too conservative. The quieter one usually wants the wilder one to calm down. What they don't understand is that the reason they chose each other is because they were of opposite energy. And that's the theme of today's program. One of the key elements in an opposite relationship is passion. Yes, passion. High energy people tend to be more excited. More excited in many ways, usually excited sexually and exciting sexually. That's important because a good sexual experience does a lot for a relationship. Low-energy people are also very often sexually passionate, but they need the force of someone of higher energy to release that passion. They need someone who will see beyond their resistance, beyond their quietness, beyond their reserve to push open the dam to release the flow. The high-energy people generally are footloose and adventurous. They don't settle down too easily, and they mostly avoid sameness. So the higher-energy person tends to get, you know, bored in a consistent relationship, but they are the driving force. When they lose the passion, and since their partner's passion was based on their energy, the passion dies, and with it goes a lot of feeling of love that they experience. Now there's no passion between them. Sometimes the bond is so strong that the couple works out a passionless marriage. But throughout it all, the high energy person feels like they are dying a little bit by a little bit by a little bit. The low energy person feels like they're sliding back to that familiar darkness of isolation. So a low energy person gets together with a high energy person and they have this complementary relationship of one doing something for the other, which we're going to talk about. But after time, if they don't keep it going, if the exchange is not positive and effective, the high energy person starts getting depressed and the low energy person starts getting depressed. And they usually do something about it. They usually either break up or find other relationships. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. Wherever you are tuning in from any part of the globe, this is on WBAI 99.5 FM. We're on the web at thepositivemind.com, and now, thanks to the magic of Tom Gerby, we are podcast. Yes, you can go to iTunes, go to the podcasts, and there we are. Every program is downloadable for you to carry. So when you go to your gym class, you could put it in your, I don't know what it means. But anyway, listen, you know, the podcasting is very important, my friends, because we are finally podcasting a piece of WBAI, which is very important. So you should let your friends know that it's available on iTunes in case you're a real fan. And not only should you let your friends know, you should listen to a program and give iTunes feedback. Tell them we like this program, because the more they get, the more they highlight the program around the world. And I love people around the world finding information about love and finding how they could love each other. So do send feedback back to iTunes and let them know. Let them know. Back to this thing we're talking about today. Today we're talking about the high energy person and the low energy person, but we're really talking about opposite energies and why opposites attract. And it's not just high energy, low energy. We're going to talk about different things like, you know, the dynamic kind of sadomasochistic relationship. We're going to be talking about all the different kind of relationships. The psychology of it is easy. A low energy person is attracted to a high energy person. Why? Because a low energy person feels somewhat depressed. If you're somebody who feels kind of dull in life, quiet in life, withdrawn in life, you're kind of aching, you know, you're like an iceberg floating through the ocean. And you're kind of, you know, just alone and nowhere to go, and you're slowly melting away. Now that's the way you feel, and you hope, you just hope that something's going to come along to energize you. In steps a high energy person. It could be a child, it could be a puppy, it could be a kitten. It could be an animal. It could be anything with a lot of energy. And it suddenly makes you feel alive. So you get very attracted to anybody else who's got any energy that seems available. If you're depressed or if you're isolated or withdrawn. The depressed person offers. Now, what does the depressed person offer to the high energy person? There's something. When you're a high-energy person, you feel like you're a piece of a cellophane bag flying through the wind. Almost good, you know, one of those shopping bags. You know, those plastic bags. You're a plastic bag just flying which way and which, and you just don't know where to land. And you just, when you're a high-energy person, sometimes you're speeding along at such a pace, you have no grounding at all. And you don't know where to go next, and you have this plan and that plan and the next plan, but you don't complete anything because your energy is so high you can't settle down. You go from one person to the next person to the next person. And you're looking, you're aching to settle down, you're aching to come to the ground. Not to settle down and become like a family person, but just to feel like you're on this earth, on this planet. So here comes the high-energy person, the plastic bag flying around in the wind, who meets up with the iceberg, floating off in the ocean. And there they are, the energies kind of work. The high-energy person suddenly lands on the ground, and the low-energy person feels elated. The exchange between the two of them becomes both lifting the depressed person and in some way settling down. the person who's very, very anxious or manic. So this is the kind of a thing that is it's very decent. It works out very well. There's another way of looking at it. For that, we'll take a different framework. So there's another way of looking at the world. Consider that one of the basic laws of physics is that there is no such thing as the death of anything. Everything is an exchange of energy. So if a plant dies, it turns into fuel for an insect. If an insect dies, it turns into fuel for a plant. The cycle of the exchange of energy goes on and on and on. Life, death, rebirth. Life, death, rebirth. Energy, whatever it is. Animation, drive, enthusiasm, esprit de corps, go, gusto, sparkle, spunk, verve, vim, vigor, enthusiasm, strength, pep, zip, zing, brawn, potency, power, steam, strength, vitality, virility, or verve. How about all of those? I like verve, vim, and vigor. Energy. Whatever it is, people sure want it, but not only people, everything in nature wants it. Watch a plant lift its leaf to the sun. It yearns. It yearns to capture as much energy as possible. The arms of a plant, like the arms of a cactus, are reaching out. They're saying to the sun, gimme, 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 gimme. Leaves are reaching out. They're all up. And you know, you could even watch animals, sometimes a lion on the Serengeti sitting in the sun, you know, getting those sun rays and being fed by it. Energy. I could go on and on, but if you think about it, one way of seeing everything in nature is that it's possible trying to get as much energy as possible. Everything is always trying to get energy. Why? Because energy equals life, and everything is trying to stay alive as long as possible. Also, perhaps because accumulation of energy is equal to accumulation of potency. And potency for men and women is a biological imperative to reproduce. To be potent means you could reproduce. To have energy means you're going to have access to reproduce. Energy. You know the secret between a good radio show and a not-so-good radio show? Energy. Energy. A little while back, I was listening to this wonderful reading of a book by Tolstoy, War and Peace, and I was listening, and some of them, as I was listening, I was falling asleep. Why? The energy of the reader. Great readers, Ed Asner and people like that, reading these things on the air. But the energy is what attracts you. If you don't have energy coming from your radio program or your TV program, you're not really going to watch it. It's about energy. The difference between a good book and a not-so-good book? Energy. Think about it. But let's focus on one aspect of energy, people's hunger for energy. We're driven to find energy, and the most interesting thing about our life struggle is our constant attempt to get energy from our fellow human beings and our dogs and our cats. Energy, the basis of falling in love. Before I met him, I was somewhat depressed, she said. I moved through each day sluggishly. Then I met him, and I felt alive, excited, vibrant. I fell in love. So falling in love very often is coming out of your doldrums and feeling alive. Falling in love means I met my source of energy. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm getting over a cold, which is my sore throat that you're listening to. But it's there. It's there for you. And energy, the basis of falling in love, is such an essence. Sometimes, you know, it's not you're falling in love, but you fall in energy. Even the person who is energetic, who is hyper, who is manic, sometimes their energy is so much that they can't touch it. They meet someone who becomes a receptacle for their energy. And they say they fall in love because they're infusing their energy somewhere so that they could feel it. See, a manic person who can plug into a person who is depressed is perfect. they feel wonderful. Because it's about the energy, once again. Because having a lot of energy doesn't mean you feel a lot of energy. Having a lot of energy means you feel hyper. Having a lot of energy and having some place to put that energy, either in work, in play, or in love, or in sex, wherever you put it, when you put it somewhere effectively, it manifests. So the energy hunger makes a giant difference. This leads us to relationships, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. And then, you know, you can think about the opposite. A person comes to see me, they come for therapy, and they say, we broke up recently and I feel depressed. Why do so many people who break up their relationships feel depressed? Well, there's the answer. Because the energy disappeared. The energy of the love that the two of you shared. But not love like lovey-dovey and all affection. It's really the love of the energy itself. When you're in love with someone, there's an energetic exchange that is vibrant. When you break up that relationship, the energy dies. And it's almost like the energy has a soul, a spirit, that leaves. And you feel dispirited. You feel like your soul died. That depression that a person feels when they break up a relationship is so profound because it's like going from life to death. Doesn't mean you shouldn't break up. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go through it. Because the better you go through it each time, the better off you are the next time around. Maybe you won't be picking people just so you could feel alive, you know? Someone calling my office after a separation or divorce. Hey, doctor, I just broke up my relationship and I can't seem to recover. Where do I get my energy? Sure, that's why you find so many people who get breakup relationships wind up attracted to drugs. They wind up to a number of different things that they wind up doing that may not be functional. Some people quit their jobs and they go off and they, you know, travel. They're trying to find it. They're trying to find that source of life. I mean, what do I say to them? Sure I can. Step right up and I'll give you a jolt of energy so you can get back on your feet. Let me tell you something about yourself. Let me do something with you psychodynamically that can make you feel better. You know, psychotherapy is a filling station for vehicles who are down on their fuel. And people are the vehicles and they lose their fuel and they don't have any energy. They go to a psychotherapist. And if a psychotherapist is any good, they feel alive coming out of the session. Of course, if the psychotherapist is depressed, then you get even more sapped. If you have a depressed psychotherapist, would you please get out of there? Give the therapist my card. The very purpose of conscious eating is effective fuel consumption. Do you got that? It's about getting your food to act as a fuel for you. The very purpose of conscious living is to try to get effective energy for yourself, trying to create and generate the energy yourself instead of being dependent on someone else for energy. So let's take a look at the person who is attracted to dysfunctional people. You get somebody who's really wacky, let's say somebody who's violent, and now you're going to control them and you're going to keep an eye on them, or somebody who drinks too much, or somebody who's a drug addict, and you're going to do something to keep your attention on them, and over again you're going to generate energy to try to control them so that their energy will stay in place. And what you wind up doing is wasting all of your own energetic reserves to try to control another person. Why is that so attractive? It's almost like you wouldn't know what to do with yourself if you didn't have somebody to take care of. So if we're so desperate for energy, how do we get it from each other? And what happens to us when people take it from us? A recent book came out a few years ago, a book by James Redfield. It was called The Celestine Prophecy. Remember that? An interesting book, written as fiction, but it's about a discovery of an ancient manuscript which holds 9 key insights into the essence and meaning of life. In this book, the author addresses the subject of the human energy exchange. He says that most humans tend to be energy parasites. He postulates that all of us are trying to really connect with our own existential self, which is filled with cosmic consciousness, the highest state of being, and a total source of renewable energy. Shall I repeat that? see if I can remember it. He postulates that all of us are trying to really connect with our own existential self, which is filled with a cosmic consciousness, the highest state of being, and a renewable, constantly renewable source of energy. You know what I'm talking about. You feel good. When you feel good, when you're at your best, you're in touch with the universe. You're in touch with everything that's out there. You're in touch with nature. And your energy is constantly renewable. Redfield, as many others have said, there's a better self out there than is being that feels connected to everything. Throughout human history, people have sensed that magnificent connected feeling and have searched for it. Now, some people call that search for their energetic selves God. And they turn towards religion to find it. They're looking for it, and they don't know where it is, so they look for God. God is offered in any number of forms, whether it be Hindu, Jewish, Catholic, whatever it is, and whatever God form you see, you say, okay, God's the source of my energy. I am going to be religious. And so you connect to yourself by your projection into God, but that's not so different as doing it in relationships either. Don't you make your relationship your God? Isn't a dedication to a relationship like a kind of religion? Armand DeMille here with you. We're going to take your calls because I'm really interested in speaking with you, especially after our long break away from you. This is WBAI. So some people turn towards religion to find their source of energy. Others make up spiritual images, while others still do the opposite and try to achieve power. So they could command more energy, possess it. They kind of get money. They get power. They want to be bosses. They get power. They like to be in charge. The dominant being who tells everybody what to do and gets energy by commanding energy. You know, you can imagine what the President of the United States feels like when he commands so much energy. You get drunk on it. One of the aspects that I found most interesting in that book, The Celestine Prophecy, is a concept of how humans try to get energy from each other. It's a mistake, he says, because of those energy dramas, as he calls them. It's still just an attempt to connect with that higher energy we sense, but we can't find. So, what is it with you that makes you find somebody of a different energy, either a higher energy or a lower energy? And what are the different combinations that take place? The most common mixture of energies that I've ever seen, the one that comes to me most frequently, is when you get somebody of a very high energy, disorganized type, like somebody who tends to be very, very emotional, who is with somebody who tends to be more of the very organized line of the ducks type. The kind of three-piece suitor who gets together with the deeply emotional, the non-emotional, and the emotional. And there they are together, and there it is. One person is just always being very up on the edge of emotions, and they're always filled with their feelings. And the other person is always calming it down, saying, yeah, what we got to do is organize this and keep everything organized. What do they do for each other? Well, there it is. The person with all that emotional energy is getting some sense of control over himself or herself. And the person who's doing the controlling is getting some kind of energy for a relatively boring, controlling life, which is the life we are lining up and doing everything by rote. There's also the a thing that I call finding a plus for your minus. Very often in life, when you feel inadequate in some way, when you feel there's some part of you that doesn't work, let's say you feel stupid. You know, let's say you feel like you've got less intelligence than everybody else. You find somebody who is more intelligent. So now what you're doing is by hooking up to somebody who's a genius, right, who's brilliant, in this form of shadow power, you know, you're in the shadow of the person who is brilliant, you are falling in love with the part of yourself that is missing. And this happens frequently. If you feel like a schlub and you find somebody who is really dynamic and people love, you know, and is a real spark plug out there in life, you fall in love with the missing part of you. So the energy source is that you in your own self seem to be like a car who's missing a spark plug. And you run into that spark plug. Let's say that your sexuality is missing. And you run into somebody who's hypersexed. You see? And now you're getting in touch with your sexuality through that other person. Or let's say that you're missing your organizational skills. And you can't organize something. So you fall in love with somebody who's very well organized. The missing part of you. Or let's say you're well organized, like I said before. And you find out, you find somebody who is so filled with energy that they just go nuts at the single turn of anything, you know, anything that they find out. And you love it because the missing part of you is the childlike play part of you. So, my friends, what we do is we find the disowned part of ourselves, the part of ourselves that we don't have, the part of ourselves that is missing. We project it into somebody else, and we fall in love with that. Think about the loves that you've had in your life. Think about the biggest loves you've had. And in your biggest loves, what part of you was missing that you found in the other person? Think about it. Did you find their intelligence? Did you find their beauty? How about that? If you don't feel attractive yourself and you find somebody who's beautiful, what if you feel powerless and you find somebody who's powerful? What if you feel like you're not likable and you find somebody who's very likable? Did you ever wonder why there are those couples out there who look really weird where one person is almost obnoxious and the other person is so, so nice? And you wonder, what are they doing with each other? Well, you know, the very, very nice person has an obnoxious part of themselves that they're not, you know, an angry part of themselves. And they find it through their missing partner, through the partner. So that person's expressing all that obnoxiousness for me. And the obnoxious person is finding their niceness in the other person. You, my friends, when you call in, which I'm going to ask you to do, at 209-2900 in just a few minutes, you have that very part of you. You found that in your partners. And you have to find out, what is it that you're missing in you that you've attached to your partner? Because, you see, the problem is this. It's okay that you fall in love with somebody who's got your missing part. But until you own your own missing part, until you could develop your own missing part, you're going to be attached to them in a weird way. It's like to lose them is to lose life. But let's say you're missing somebody, you're missing your own intelligence, and you find somebody who you think is a genius, and you fall in love with them because of their intelligence. As you develop your own intelligence, which will happen because just by being in relationship it will happen, you'll find that your choice of being with them is not based on a need, but based on a choice, because now you have the missing piece. You know, in a funny way, that's what's good about divorce. Very often, you know, people who have no means marry somebody of means, and then they get divorced and they suddenly have means and they start all over again. It kind of works in a funny way. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, and when we do, we'll come back with your phone calls, 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. And don't forget, my friends, iTunes podcast, spread the word. You could actually take the program and mail it to someone. You can mail it. You could also look at our website at thepositivemind.com. So after this month away from you, I've dug up some music, as I usually do, that I think you'll find attractive. I'm going to be putting that on for you. And maybe it's time to dance. You know, maybe it's just time to kind of bring this summer to a good beginning. Late spring, early summer. Time to move it. So we will be back with you in a couple of minutes. This is Armand DeMille here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City at just about exactly 1:30. I was waiting for 1:30. Ah, that's terrific stuff, isn't it? WBAI 99.5 FM. You're listening to the Funky Low Lives. That's the name of the group. Nova Bassa. And this is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. If you just tuned in and you said, what is that great music? You're listening to WBAI, which is a remarkable radio station here in the middle of your dial in New York City. You might be listening to us on the computer, or you might be listening to us podcast through iTunes. What a thing. All over the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is somebody listening to this program. And somebody saying to themselves, you know, that's interesting. You should listen to this. And what you do is you take this program and you could mail it to a friend of yours. It's remarkable. You send the program to a friend who then presses a button and listens to the program. It's just amazing. Amazing. Oof, what it used to take to do that. We used to actually sell copies of our program because we would have to make them into a cassette. And what it took to make a cassette, and that was just 3 years ago, make a cassette and then turn mail the cassette and get the addresses. Now you just go to thepositivemind.com or go to iTunes and listen in to see what we do. Armand DeMille here with the Positive Mind. In case you don't know what I do, if you pardon the expression, is because I am a psychotherapist who works in New York City, and I've been working with patients for many, many years, and I've been teaching psychology to many people, students of psychology, as well as people who have been interested for many years. And in different institutions, I've been in Hunter College, NYU, and a whole bunch of other learning institutes. And what I found is that the people want to learn because they want to find peace in their hearts. They want to be able to understand other people better. And they want to be able to understand themselves. Ask yourself a funky question. Here's one. What is the one thing about you that makes you think you're a broken person? That you're a broken toy? What's the one part of you that you wish you could change? That you would just wish, oh, you know, I wish I didn't get jealous, or I wish I didn't get angry. I wish I were more patient with my kids. What is the one thing about you that you wish you could change? Well, you see, it's a question. It's a great question, because these are the questions of introspection, and introspection is the key to understanding yourself and understanding other people. You can't just analyze other folks. You have to understand yourself first. We've got you on the line, and we're taking your calls about relationships and energetic exchange. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you turn down your radio completely, please?
Sure, it's off.
Is it off?
Yeah.
No, I still hear that echo of being on.
I'm actually in a back room, that's why.
Oh, okay.
I actually wanted to say I agree with everything you say, but I think you downplay the quiet, low-energy person. I think that that person has a reservoir of insight, introspection, and existential knowledge that the high-energy person does not. And I found that you put a positive valence on the high-energy person and sort of how they use the low-energy person, rather than really celebrating what it means to have the quietude and the ability to sit still.
Well, it's according to how you describe low-energy person. The person who you're talking about who has the quietude and the ability to sit still is not a low-energy person. Because okay. If you're that kind of a person, you're a very high-energy person. You're just quiet.
Okay.
There's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference, because the person who learns that they can find that energetic source inside themselves through their quietude, not somebody who is just, are you that kind of person?
Yes, I am. I'm a psychologist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, have you searched, have you been through a long search for a while? You didn't have that quietude, or have you always been an isolated person?
I've always had that quietude, yet I've always struggled with the wanting to reach out and not being able to, and really getting down on myself about that when I actually think it's somewhat of a strength, and it certainly works in my profession.
Have you ever reached out to anybody of very high energy and said, I want to connect with you?
Well, it's funny because I'm actually dating someone exactly in the dynamic that you described.
And how do you feel about his energy?
I feel exactly it's the missing part of me, and it does bring me alive, and I feel like he is less able to hone in on me, but yet is attracted to that.
Is attracted to what?
He's attracted to that I can rein him in, but doesn't quite have the ability to sit still and really get to sail through me in that way and get to explore me.
So what you're talking about is very personal, and you're talking about the choice of a high-energy versus a low-energy person. You have inside you this space, but it's always been aching for that spark, and you find that spark in him, you see?
Yes.
You find it in him. That's the missing piece. That's the piece you're looking for.
Yes, but I have the ability to introspect and know that, whereas him, I just think it's more vague and amorphous. But yes,
you see, that's the crisis of the manic person. They tend to spin off and never see themselves. You know, in other words, when you're even if you're depressed and withdrawn, you tend to look at your own belly. You know, you tend to get an idea of who you are. But if you're spinning off in space all the time, you just can't. There's no time to do it. So it's a significant advantage to being introspective and having that quietude, but it sounds to me like you've gone deeper than that, that you've found God inside yourself in some way.
Well, I'm trying, and certainly having it be framed in the way that you're framing it is helping me realize I'm on that path.
What's your first name?
Amanda.
Amanda, let me ask you this other question. What is, besides that, tell me something else about the energy of your new mate that is so positive. What does he drag you out of that you may slide into? How about getting out of the house?
I guess it's less getting out of the house, but that life doesn't have to be so serious, that you can sort of enjoy things in the moment for what it is.
Now, that's a beautiful kind of thing, you know, especially for you, a psychologist, because you and I tend to see the depth of the human despair. And in seeing it is almost to focus on it. What we do for a living is to focus on that and try to pick it up and correct it, but we're dealing with it all the time. And here's somebody who comes along and says, yeah, it's okay. But it's okay. It's part
exactly.
of life.
But I don't want to downplay my strength in light of that.
Yeah, I understand. Well, good. I'm glad you're in this experiment. I hope this is very successful for you.
Well, thank you so much. I actually have to go to... You run a therapy group, so I will keep your words with me.
Good. Good. Thanks for calling in, Amanda.
Thank you.
Right. Dr. Amanda. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Armand. What you're speaking about is delicious. This is Leora.
Hello, Leora.
And I'll come to the point. I've been doing fascination research on the whole aspect of energy, but let me get to the bottom line here. What is energy? Where is it? It's invisible. Where is its origin? And, dear Armand, is consciousness and the mind and awareness, is that all interrelated?
Leora, it sounds like you have the answer to it. It sounds like you know that it is. You know,
but
it sounds
I want to
like
hear your beautiful wisdom.
It sounds like you're asking the question, but you already know the answer. Yes, of course it is. It's everything that represents life.
Where does it come from?
Up there.
God, does it come from God?
Well, it comes from the life force. Where does the life force come from? Some people think it's a religious thing and it's God.
Yeah.
Or some people think it's existential. Or some people think it's nature.
Oh, I see.
You know, but it doesn't matter where you think it comes from. We know one thing for sure.
Yes.
That feeling alive and feeling vibrant and feeling happy and feeling positive seems to feel what life is about, which is why we love puppies and kittens and, you know what I mean, and babies and everything that's innocent and energetic.
Mm-hmm.
But and bean sprouts.
Yes. But the key point is, I'm thinking of bonding and that whole aspect of that balance of energy and that whole beautiful hormone called oxytocin.
You know, now you're getting technical, probably a little too technical for the audience.
What do you want? Okay, I want to ask.
I'm going to be personal now.
I'm going to be very. I was married. I was a child bride, married an older person, and I'm going to be. I use this for sharing with the audience. And it was a perfect balance of energy. This person knew his way, very sophisticated. I was a little girl in the Bronx, you know, and the energy was a perfect match. Anyway, long story short, when I grew up and I said, you know, Tully, I'm grown. So the point is that there could be a reservoir that is not there yet when you marry this energy. And somehow you need to have this kind of energy to be able to be a catalyst for you. So even as that happens and you do grow up or you do get that change of balance and then you try to make it, and otherwise you might leave because that was that person for each other fulfilled, did the job, and then you go on your journey. What do you think about that?
Viora, I want to thank you. I'm going to take another caller, and I'm going to respond to that, okay? And thank you for calling in.
Thank you, dear.
Sure. I think you're right. I think sometimes when we're going to find a plus for our minus, and we get into a relationship, each relationship we get in, we challenge this missing part of ourselves a little more, and each time we learn a little better. Hey, you don't have the magic. I have the magic. Hey, you don't have the magic. Only the magic is in me. So each time you separate from someone, and that's why I think people who have had, you know, a series of relationships are fortunate. If you've had 3 or 4 or 5 relationships over your life, you've learned along the way. You know, you've learned from each different person. So my idea is that you learn from each person and you get better at it the next time until finally, when you own yourself, you could be in a relationship with someone else and they could be them and you could be you, but you don't need them to feel alive. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind and WBAI. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand?
Yes.
I find what you say fascinating. And I was wondering if you would think you could project it onto a group instead of just a relationship. By that,
sure.
I mean this.
Go ahead.
As a black person, I find that the ordeals and many trials that black people have gone through culturally, just being marginalized in our society as a whole for so many years, had an effect on just the energy level at you know, that we have as a group of people, because when you're in a society where you've been marginalized for so long and you have those energies, you want to aspire, you want to contribute to society, yet so, for so many years those doors were closed to you, don't you think that that has had somewhat of a mitigating effect on the group as a whole? Because we're seeing people now, the dropout rate is so high, you have almost 50% in a lot of inner-city schools. You know, kids are giving up. And I look
but
at
wait,
it, it
wait, wait.
Me.
When you say the kids are giving up, you know, what's your first name?
Jackie.
Jackie, you say the kids are giving up. Get this idea. The kids are dropping out of school where they feel dead and inadequate. And what the kids are doing, they're going in the streets and they're trying to hustle money and get pregnant. They're having babies.
I know this.
And now what's this about having babies? It's about feeling the energy inside you. It's the life force. Because the schools don't offer the life force. When the schools offer the life force to the inner city kids, then the kids won't be dropping out. But that's not the way our school system is right now.
No, it isn't. Well,
I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right. I think there have been groups that have been marginalized and that they have been virtually put to sleep. You know?
Yes.
And that the idea that they can feel this energy, the one thing I think about a lot of different cultures that have been put to sleep is they very often don't tap into, try to find that energy in somebody else. They try to find it in themselves. And I think that's, of course, happened. There's certainly been a big change. And people, more people who have been suppressed for a long period of time are the energy sources themselves.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is very interesting. And I would like for you to make it available to the public school system, in line of what we're speaking about.
How would we make it available?
Well, isn't this recorded?
Yes, and if you could get it on iTunes. Get the program and send it over to the school system. You do it.
Okay.
You do it. Let that be your job, Jackie. We're all working in this thing, right? You know, when I think about the fact, and I think about podcasting and how the program is available on the Positive Mind website, and I think about the fact that this very energy of this program, including your energy, Jackie, is going around the world. We're not talking about it's just going to New Jersey. We're talking it's going to Italy, it's going to Arabia, it's going everywhere where people are. And there are people listening in pockets of the world where they have never, a year ago, they couldn't hear anything except local radio.
True.
And now they have this available. We are changing the world. We're all a part of it, you know?
Well, I thank you for your listening to me, and I'm going to do that because I think your program is excellent and it's very insightful.
Thank you, Jackie.
I think what it boils down to is the value of self. And it's just sad to see that, you know, being
it's
lost.
It's very hard to find
abuse.
A self in value when somebody keeps beating you over the head with a stick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's
true.
Very hard to say, I am good if somebody keeps hitting you over the head.
Yes, no one reinforces what's good about you.
Yeah. That's why we have brothers and sisters.
Right.
You know, we lean up against each other and we say, you know, you're not so bad.
Right.
Thanks, Jackie.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. Bye. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind, WBAI. Let's take one more call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good afternoon, Armand. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
This is Minerva.
Hello, Minerva.
Hi. I'm calling because I was listening to your broadcast, and I must say that you hit home on a lot of points for me. For myself, I find that I wish I were more assertive when it really counts. Like when I have to stand up for myself on many different occasions, either at work or with my family, it feels as though I let the wave of criticism or the wave of pointing fingers just rush over me, and it's okay. And then I get really angry at myself maybe 30 minutes later. Because I didn't say what I could have said.
Well, you know, there's an important trick in that one. If it's, I didn't say what I thought I could say, and then you just say to yourself, okay, here's where I missed an opportunity, then the opportunity changes in the future. But when you criticize yourself and you beat yourself up for not doing it, that's what keeps you in place. We were talking about cultures who have been at the mercy of other cultures a couple of seconds ago. One of the worst cultures we have is when we beat ourselves over the head, when we become our own oppressors. You, Minerva, are too beautiful to be criticized for anything.
Thank you.
So therefore, when you choose that you haven't stood your ground or make your battle, it just wasn't time yet. And if you could greet yourself as a person who is not ready yet, rather than a person who is too weak or too lax too much to be able to do the fight that you want to do, if you could greet yourself as somebody who's just not ready yet, you know, then you're going to be okay.
Well, thank you.
And you'll step up with the rest of us, and I'm really glad you called.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Minerva. 212-209-2900. We have time for one more call as we go off into the sunset. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. I know it's there. Hello there. 212-209-2900. It's Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there. Well, I don't hear anybody on the air. So, the idea of today's program was we were talking about introspection, and we were talking about trying to find the balance of energy within ourselves. And the obvious answer, it's really clear, my friends, the answer to the energy battle is that eventually we look for whatever we're looking for elsewhere, and we find it somewhere inside ourselves. That's the idea. We've got to find it. But one of the ways to find it is to find it by searching and trying to identify what it is we see in the other person. So if you think somebody's really gorgeous out there and really attractive and you fall in love with somebody, ask yourself, what have they got that I want? Now, very often you'll look at somebody and you'll say, oh, they're sexy, I want it. Well, you want your own sexuality. Sometimes you need somebody who seems so obviously sex to feel your own sexuality. Or maybe it's their intelligence. Well, you want your own intelligence. I'll tell you the truth. I have never met anybody who was attracted to somebody very intelligent who wasn't on their own latently highly intelligent. So you got it in you. You could find it in you. You could identify it by looking for what you're attracted to. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. We've got to be going. You can get a copy of today's program by calling 212-757-4488. But really, the copy of today's program is available through the Internet. It's also podcast through iTunes. And you could you send me an email, you know. It's Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at Brainlink, BRAINLINK.com. The website, thepositivemind.com. Back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.